Sportsnet 650 presents Just Here for the Beer, Canada's original dedicated beer radio show.
I don't mean to have a one-track mind, but all I need's a frosty pint.
A Vancouver tradition for 10 years and counting. We're talking about the BC beer scene with the innovators, the movers and shakers, and brew makers of the industry.
I don't mean to whine and beg, but someone finally tap that keg. I'm just here for the beer.
It's Just Here for the Beer Radio with your hosts, Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer.
It is another episode of Just Here for the Beer Radio, a broadcast tradition since 2010. Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer, you can check us out online, justhereforthebeer.com. Listen to previous episodes of the show. It is available for podcast wherever you get your podcast from, and you can follow us on social media at JHFTB. It is the Easter weekend as we record this show. It's Easter here in, and we're in the Fraser Valley. This is, Rick, this has been a long time since we've been here. We've had representatives of Fraser Valley Brewers and what have you on the shows over the course of time, but we've never actually done a dedicated show from the Fraser Valley, and today we are in Abbotsford at the new location, the one-year-old location of Old Yale Brewing.
And it's incredible. You come in here and, you know, Joe, we were pulling up and we're like, this doesn't look like the place that we've been to before. Just to see the expansion of tasting rooms within the industry. And I think, you know, given where things are going right now, I think that's what we're going to be seeing. It's not necessarily expanding distribution and all of that. I think more and more tasting rooms are going to be where it's at.
And what I think is interesting is that when you look at the evolution of tasting rooms, and again, you know, they were primitive in their early days because the laws weren't really encouraging for them to expand beyond other than fill up a growler, maybe get a pepperoni stick or a bag of hard bite potato chips, and that was it. Now you've got like liquor service, you've got family friendly environments. I mean, where we're sitting here today, I mean, they've got picnic tables, they've got cornhole games, they've got an outdoor area, and they got a full on menu where you can get like pizzas and burgers and whatever you want.
Yeah, and I think part of that is the evolution of the business model of what breweries were to what they are today, right? And it's just a different revenue stream for them, which helps keep them afloat in those leaner distribution times where, you know, it might be a dry January, dry February, whatever the case may be. Having a tasting room like this that's kid-friendly, that's dog-friendly, that means families get a chance to spend that quality time together that we didn't in the past.
Well, I remember early on when some breweries were kind of complaining that, you know, all they were allowed to serve was beer. And, you know, let's say somebody in your party comes in with you and they're not into beer. They want a cocktail or they want a glass of wine. And I remember my first thought was, well, why are you going to a brewery? You know what to expect. It's like McDonald's. You're not going into McDonald's looking for filet mignon, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You know exactly what's on the menu. But at the same time, like, why not be an encompassing, you know, accepting environment where, yeah, as you said, you can bring kids, you can bring dogs if need be. But you've got a variety of stuff. It's not just potato chips and pepperoni sticks.
And Joe, you and I have talked about this numerous times over the years, and I think that is the evolution of our liquor laws, right? And some of them are very, very archaic and that need looking at. But I think COVID really opened up government's eyes to what needs to be done to help small business continue and flourish. Well, and I've talked about this many times, too. Craft brewers are not owned by shareholders that send money offshore. Yeah. Craft brewers are the ones that are going to sponsor your softball team, sponsor your kids' hockey team, help out in the community every which way they can.
They are. And the thing is that, again, when you look back on the evolution of this show, we started the show in October of 2010. And in October of 2010, we were doing it out of then 650 Sea Isle. We're back on the original channel. But we were doing it out of a radio station in Richmond, and you couldn't do neighborhood beer shows because there wasn't neighborhood beer communities.
That's right.
Now we're able to do a dedicated show only focused on Abbotsford, and we could go much further. We could do Chilliwack. We could do whatever. But it's amazing to see just how much these things have grown. And speaking of which, as we are here in Abbotsford, Old Yale Brewing, of course, is the location we're broadcasting from. Nick Fengler, who is the brewmaster, longtime friend of the show, will join us. As well, we're going to talk to our friend Paul Sweeting, who is the owner-operator of Ravens Brewing. And again, these are a couple of the OGs when you consider the neighborhood. We are going to talk to Fieldhouse Brewing, which has, of course, a location in Abbotsford, and I believe another location. I'm sure we'll talk to Matt Friesen, who is their brewmaster. I'm sure he'll bring us up to speed on that. We're also going to go a little bit off the beer map and get into cidery. So Taves Estate Cidery, Lauren Taves is the owner. We've heard really good things about this operation, and we're going to sample that. As well, we're going to talk to the owner of Man Farms. Man Farms is a winery, and they've got a beautiful bottle of wine. They've got canned wine. And from what I understand, they've been around like four decades. This is a long-term family project.
45 years from what I understand.
45 years. And, of course, shows like this are not possible without the cooperation of either a tourism department, a business improvement association, or a civic government. And we've touched on all of those over the course of our time traveling around. And today is not possible without Tourism Abbotsford. And we have Connie Hackett, the destination marketing manager, to thank. And we also have Claire Seely, who is the executive director. Because they're paying the freight. They're going, yeah, yep. Hey, Rick and Joe, we like the fact that you want to focus on our community.
That's right. And I, you know, part of their mandate is sure. to help raise awareness of the businesses in their location.
Absolutely. So here we are, folks. It is the Easter weekend recording. You're listening to this the first week of April, but it is our dedicated show on the great beverages in Abbotsford. It is just here for the beer from Old Yale Brewing in Abbotsford.
I'm Bailey Murphy, stylist at the award-winning Avant-Garde Hair Studio in Yaletown. We're known for creative hair makeovers, both male and female, and if you're looking for something new this new year, come and see me. 2021 means it's time for a change and a fresh start and a fresh new look. If it's highlights, a fade, or just a bold new style for 2021, talk to me, Bailey Murphy. I'm at Avant-Garde Hair Studio, 1075 Mainland Street in Yaletown, or you can email me, hairbybailey@gmail.com. That's hairbybailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y-Y, @gmail.com.
Listening to Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 FM HD3, Canada's original dedicated beer radio broadcast for over a decade. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JHFTB. It's Just Here for the Beer Radio and your hosts Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer.
And welcome back to Just Here for the Beer Radio, Canada's dedicated exclusive radio broadcast and podcast. Heard exclusively on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM, HD3, and online, sportsnet.ca/650, and available wherever you get your podcasts. Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer broadcasting from Old Yale Brewing in Abbotsford as we do a dedicated show to the area. And we were a little confused when we got here because
yes.
There's an Old Yale Brewing in Chilliwack, and that was the location we were at because we're looking at this building going, this looks totally unfamiliar, unless the whole neighborhood grew up in the time we've been here. But it turns out this is the newest location
right.
of Old Yale Brewing. Nick Fengler is the brewmaster. Pleasure to see you, sir. It's
yes,
been a while.
It's been a long time.
How are you? Good to
Thank
see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys. I'm doing well, really well.
It looks like business is doing well because you've got this spectacular facility in Abbotsford. How new is this building?
So we are just at our one-year anniversary beginning of April, so like now. Yeah, we opened last year, and it's been a wild ride. There's been some ups and downs and a lot of learning, but overall it's been received super enthusiastically.
So it's been a while since we've been in Chilliwack. So Chilliwack obviously doing well and created this spin-off location in Abbotsford. Mm-hmm. Is it just kind of makes sense because the two locations are relatively, you know, conveniently located close to each other?
Yeah, I think our Abbotsford location is definitely focused much more on the hospitality side. It's a little bit more of a restaurant focus, whereas Chilliwack started and still is our main production facility. It does have a tasting room and actually about the same number of seats, but this is much more of a restaurant.
Yeah, it's a really cool facility.
And it's beautiful because now in the background you've got this little brew house in the back here. And
yeah.
So what are you doing in there, Nick?
Yeah, so as much as I said, as a restaurant, there is a brew house here. We have a 10-hex system. And it's strictly for playing around and brewing beers to put on tap at this location, and this location only.
A little bit of a test batch?
Yeah, test batch. It gives a little more freedom. Costs aren't quite as prohibitive.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is this kind of like your playground where you kind of go nuts and try out some weird stuff?
Yeah, to a certain extent. You can't go too crazy, but it definitely has a lot more flexibility. We get to try maybe things that we don't have to be quite as confident in.
So I've got a question for you. When I was talking with Charlie, who owns Five Roads Brewing, he was saying that they have Steveston as their second location, and he was saying the difference between Langley and Steveston in terms of what the popular beers are was quite dramatic. And he goes, I can't understand why that is. Have you found that the most popular selling beers in Abbotsford are the same as they are in Chilliwack, or is there a difference?
I would say they're pretty similar. The sort of Eastern Fraser Valley area, if you want to call it that. We have a few strong breweries out here that have multiple locations in both cities. And that has kind of helped the demographic stay relatively consistent across both locations.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of surprising to me because I would think if you're a fan of Old Yale Brewing, and it's like, oh, there's one in Abbotsford now, you'd probably go for the same beers that you go for in Chilliwack. But he was saying in Richmond and Langley, it was dramatically different.
Very dramatic.
Yeah. So talk about the food, because you've got a pretty good food program going here, too.
Yeah. No, we have a significantly larger menu. Yeah. The biggest thing that's different is we have a full pizza program. So we have a gas fired? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not the cook.
Yeah.
Some sort of pizza oven.
Yeah.
And those things are just flying out. They're super popular. They're really good. I know we just rolled out our spring menu, so there's some fun features on there. A big fried chicken waffle burger, a peanut butter and jam burger. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
So as brewmaster, do you get a chance to kind of dabble in that, or does chef over there kind of – do you two work together?
not as closely as I perhaps want to taste.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, they've got that nailed down. Yeah. They don't need me making things more confusing with my ideas.
Well, I was quite impressed with the size of this facility. I mean, I don't know if I want to talk square footage, but it's a sizable room.
Size.
You've got an outside area that's got some garage doors that obviously can open up in the summertime. You've got a big parking lot area. I mean, you could really do yourself a nice little beer fest out here, couldn't you?
Yeah, we did a couple last summer, and I know they were just super crazy. Like you mentioned, we have those roll-up doors. So the whole idea when we were designing this area was to kind of bring the outside in as much as we can. And then, yeah, in this area of Abbotsford, parking is at a big premium. So us having a lot... any sort of lot, another one that's a decent size one is a huge
dedicated
plus for us.
To you guys.
Well,
yeah,
I will also say that you have this is the only place I've ever seen cornhole played inside.
Inside.
But we asked them to halt it during the recording of the show because it sounds like gunfire in the background. but this is a pretty big facility. Is there plans for more? Like, are you guys in growth mode, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So, yes and no. I mean, BC, we're pretty happy where we're at now. We might look at updating some things in Chilliwack in the future. We do have something on the horizon in Alberta, so that's super exciting. Looking at the end of the year for that. Can't really say too much more on that one.
Yeah, because you never know, right? Yeah. All kinds of permits.
He's already said enough.
Okay. What do you have in front of us here, Mr. Fangler?
So I have our returning seasonal release. It's our Salty Lime Mexican Lager.
Salty Lime Mexican Lager. Love it.
Yeah, it's perfect for spring, summer. It's available in all the BC liquor stores. A nice, light, kind of a little bit of a corn lager going on, sort of that classic Mexican corn lager.
Definitely tastes a lime in it.
Yeah, and then it has a nice hit of that lime zest. And there is some sea salt in there, too, to help just round out the profile.
So let me ask you a loaded question. Is beer kind of getting away from being weirder and weirder and just kind of sort of drawing back towards more traditional to a certain degree?
I think so. I think it definitely is. Lagers, any sort of lagers, are definitely much more popular. It's kind of segregating, and there's gaps in between. So
yeah.
For us, fruited sours, very popular. IPAs, very popular. And lagers. And kind of the in-between things are slower.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your joining us because as we record this show, it is the Easter weekend.
Easter weekend.
This was due entirely to bad calendar view on our point. But what are you got kids? What's the plans for Easter?
Immediately after this, we're headed out to an Easter egg hunt.
Okay.
So they're at the park across the street waiting for me.
They're excited, waiting for Daddy.
Yeah.
Nick Fengler, it's great to see you again, man. Congratulations on the growth
definitely.
Of Old Yell Brewing, and we look forward to the future. The next time we talk to you, there might be another province that's joining the party.
They very well could be. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, buddy.
Just Here for the Beer Radio is presented by Shop Angry Otter Liquor Stores, where local lives. With 25 locations from Vancouver to the Okanagan, BC's premier liquor shopping experience is something for everyone. Why choose between assortment and experience when you can have both? Every Angry Otter Liquor location has a trained team and a vast curated selection of the best beer from your neighborhood to the province. Check out Angry Otter Liquor on Facebook, Instagram, or angryotterliquor.crs for a list of locations.
This is Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 HD3, a Vancouver broadcast tradition since 2010. Check out the audio podcast at justhereforthebeer.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at JHFTB. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary and Rick Moabeer.
Welcome back to Just Here for the Beer, Canada's dedicated exclusive beer radio broadcast and podcast. It's also heard exclusively on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM HD3, and streamed online at sportsnet.ca/650. You can also check out podcasts wherever you get your podcasts from. Joe Leary and Rick Moabeer at JHFTB is our social media. JustHereForTheBeer.com is where you can hear previous episodes of this show that dates back to 2010. And we're broadcasting from Old Yell Brewing in Abbotsford. It's a special show dedicated to the great beverages that come from this area. We have done, over the course of now 14 years of broadcasting, we've tapped into a couple of other elements. We've done like a meadery. We've done a cidery.
Yes.
But this is something that I think the category is growing, because we've seen so much growth in craft beer, and it might have sort of hit a peak and then kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to find something new.
To
introduce. But I think when you look at the area, a cidery, I think, is what's really needed. And this is Lauren Taves, who is the owner of Taves Estate Cidery. Welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good.
Now, what made you throw your hat in the cidery ring, and when did you do this?
You know, it was definitely a progression. Back in 89, I started planting orchards in the valley. And even just before that, in 86, I started my farming with growing red currants, black currants, gooseberries. And we started making apple juice out of our apples in 91. And then when we grew and grew and grew until we were doing a huge amount of cider for apple juice, that is, apple cider, apple juice, for a lot of the hard cidery people that were contracting us to make the juice for them. Got to know them. I was interested in actually doing our own hard cider just for the farm or doing a little wholesale as well. And in 2019, we got our license. In 2020, we opened up our tap room here at the farm, and it's been golden ever since.
So you were not interested in being a brewery? That was never on your radar?
No, because I was staying true to what we are. We're an orchard, and we're a berry operation. So those two elements brought about the Tate Estate Cider.
So when you're making or producing berries, what about the thought of wine? Is that come onto your
that
possibilities?
That has crossed my mind. Actually, some of my aspirations are towards brandies, actually. We'll
okay.
see.
Right.
Calvados is one of my favorite brandies. It's like a northern French apple brandy. But yeah, that's but wine hasn't actually entered the picture for us at this time.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Lauren. I'm having the black currant cider, and this is damn fun.
Wow.
This is really, really nice.
And the black currant is our best seller at our... Okay. We have 13 different flavors that we make, and the black currant is actually our most sought after.
So Joe was asking you earlier, what does the term estate mean, and how does it...
Estate essentially is a land-based cidery. Like, at least 50% of the production has to come from the land. And we have to have a certain size orchard for the liquor board to give us a license. And we're given a special lower tax break in order to create an element so our little smaller farms can transition to value-added products.
What's it like getting it to retail locations and on-premise? I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of ciders on tap right now, and I know that the beer world is kind of fighting for a limited number of taps.
Yes.
Is it easier for you to offer cider? Because, again, it's nice to have that alternative everywhere that, you know, you choose to drink alcohol.
Yeah, we distribute our kegs across the Fraser Valley. We don't do anything on the other side of the Portman towards Vancouver. We do can sales there a little bit, but we do a lot of kegs in a lot of like brewery or like beer tap locations. We're in there.
So what's the range of flavors? I know that we're going to probably sample our way through, but just for the sake of brevity here, what flavors do you have for us today?
Well, what I brought here today was the very first four flavors we developed. It's our Barnyard series, we call it. We have three different series on the farm. The Barnyard series features our berries and what we grow and the apples, just those things. So pure apple, pure blackcurrant, pure with the apple, red currant, and gooseberries all from the farm. And that was our... That was the impetus for what we're doing. I wanted to be authentic. I wanted to do exactly what we made. It also has a history of who we are. I started when I was farming. I was 18, and this is the first things I planted. And I'm 56 now, and I'm still growing these crazy berries, and I thought they'd make a great cider.
You know what? I love this story.
It's great. You love a good local story. This is a great local story. And not only that, but I think it's also a refreshing beverage. I mean, we've been sampling some beers this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we enjoy our beers. We've been doing this show for 14 years.
14 years.
That would say we enjoy our beers. But this is such a nice, refreshing alternative. Who is your typical consumer? Can you figure that median consumer? Is it a 30-something, 20-something, 50-something? Is it a former beer drinker? Is it a cocktail drinker? Who is it?
I think we're still in the two-thirds to three-quarter female like the cider. Guys do, too.
Yeah.
We've seen more and more of that transition to cider. But it's generally women do like ciders. It's maybe they're all... You know, beers are sometimes people say it makes them feel full or they get that feeling.
Yeah.
Ciders don't do that. Cider's a little bit easier to digest later on.
This is amazing. This is called Taves Estate Cidery. You're located very close to where we are here at Old
Yale Road. I drove 8 minutes to get here. I'm on the we're on a dead-end road on Gladwin. Where I live, actually, where the berries are growing, we're right on the U.S. border. In fact, I can see my neighbors to the south. There's a forest there on the end of Gladwin Road. And I remember back in, this is kind of a funny story, back in 2016 when Trump got elected, my neighbor's cow from the States got into our gooseberry patch, actually. And I made an announcement, please build the wall. We need to keep the cows out.
Keep the cows out.
So for those that have not been, is there tasting opportunities at the Estate Cidery?
Yeah, we have actually a tap room there. We've got two, one tap room and one another room called the Room. Roost, where we serve our lounge. And there we make all the cocktails, which I have listed here on the
side. Oh,
wow.
Oh,
so we have a huge line of cocktails and new ones coming up.
It's spelled T-A-V-E-S. So how do people find you online, on social media?
Taves Estate Cidery.
This is yeah. tremendous.
I love this.
I'm so glad we had this conversation
today. Joe, 14 years of us drinking primarily beers and the odd cocktail here and there that we've had on the show. I love this as, you know, beautiful, really sweet, and I've got the sweet tooth out of the two of us. And this is just unbelievable.
It is, yeah.
And actually the one you guys were sipping mostly is the Rams. It's actually our sweetest, and it gets, as we go this way, it gets drier. Our driest is the...
The gooseberry?
Is the gooseberry, yeah. Yeah. Wow. And actually, that's our second most popular flavor is the gooseberry, because gooseberry has an amazing way to blend with apple to create this pop that when you drink it.
This is tremendous. Yeah. Lauren Taves of Taves Estate Cidery in Abbotsford, thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Just Here for the Beer Radio is heard exclusively on Sportsnet 650 and is podcast through justhereforthebeer.com. For more information, check out justhereforthebeer.com and on Instagram and Twitter at JHFTB.
How about a burger where In-N-Out meets Shake Shack? Well, it's called Mimi's Burgers, a pop-up joint out of Glitch at 2287 West Broadway, two blocks west of Arbutus. It's a simple menu with just four options of hand-pressed patties: Mimi's Classic, Mimi's Cheeseburger, the Beyond Meat, and the double-sized honey for the hungry folk among us. Great burgers, Kennebec fries, and onion rings, and they are good. Mimi's Burgers, think Shake Shack meets In-N-Out, 2287 West Broadway, mimisburgers.com, and on Instagram at Mimi's Kits.
Listening to Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 FM HD3, Canada's original dedicated beer radio broadcast for over a decade. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JHFTB. It's Just Here for the Beer Radio and your hosts Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer.
Just Here for the Beer is Canada's dedicated exclusive beer radio broadcast and podcast. Also heard exclusively on Sportsnet, 650 AM, 96.9 FM, HD3, and online at sportsnet.ca/650. You can pick up the podcast wherever you get your podcast on major streaming devices. Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer of justhereforthebeer.com at JHFTB is our social media handles. We're broadcasting from Old Yale Brewing in Abbotsford as we focus on the beverage community of the Fraser Valley and this great area. And we're joined by Gaurav, who is the owner of Mon Farms Estate Winery in Abbotsford. How are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Excellent. All the better for having somebody bring some beautiful beverages to the table. Tell us about the Mon family estate. How long you guys been around?
So it's actually my family business, third generation. We've been...
You're third generation?
Yes, okay. I'm third generation. So my parents are the owners, and there's three siblings and my parents that, you know, run the farm. I have a fourth sibling who always contributes as well. But my parents, you know, they came here in the 70s. We started a fruit stand, selling berries on the side of the road. My parents brainwashed us. They're like, you know, your summers are meant for selling berries and growing berries.
You're ours.
You know? And then we grew up that way, and we started a winery in 2012. It was actually my dad's idea. Why not become a little bit more sustainable? You know, turn our fruits not only into fresh fruit, sell it in the market, but also into wine. You know, take a pound of berries, turn it into wine, you sell it for $20, whereas a pound of fruit goes for $4.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thesis of our business, but now we're all about family, farm, and fun. You know, you come to our farm, right now it's Easter weekend, we have thousands of people on the farm right now, doing like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
There's like a petting zoo play area, people get to try our wine.
Do you have goats?
Yes, we have goats.
Cute baby goats?
Cute baby goats.
Okay.
We do goat yoga.
I don't even know what that is.
But yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, in a nutshell, that's our farm. It's a family-based business that we're very passionate about what we do. And we love innovating and doing fun stuff.
You hit on something, because I don't know if you've ever taken your kids berry picking, but when I was growing up, it was not unusual for me and my family to do some berry picking in Richmond.
Yep.
And as a young kid, you could make some pretty good dough to pick berries when they weigh them for you. But also, friends of mine own a blueberry farm in Richmond, and I know there's a lot of spoilage. So for your dad to have the foresight to go, hey, you know what, why not make this into something that's more sustainable, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, 100%. My dad's the, you know, he's the backbone of the business.
Right.
I'm so grateful to my parents. They worked so hard. And now, you know, my siblings and I, we get to stand on their shoulders.
So do you, who is the wine genius in the family then?
Well, I'm the director of winery operations.
So you're the genius in the family.
I'm not genius, but, you know, I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
It's a full-time gig for me. I did it through school. I do it, you know, 24/7, this is what I bleed, right? So
right.
My brother, he does a lot of the farming. So he grows all the berries. My sister, we call her the director of fun. So she comes up with really cool ideas. Like we made a pumpkin spice wine. That was her idea. We have a pumpkin spice ice cream that went viral. So we do a lot of fun events like that, and it's just a collaboration.
What did you bring today, Gaurav? This looks really good. What is this?
So it's called Belzer. It's a short for berry wine seltzer. It's a raspberry wine carbonated down. It's kind of an alternative to an RTD. What's really cool and unique about it is that it's made from real fruit. So no natural flavors, no artificial flavors. You pour this out into a glass, it has real red, you know, ruby red color because it's made from real raspberries. So we're drinking our raspberry Belzer. It's a fruit wine per se, but it's low calorie, low sugar, low carb, 7%.
That's nice.
I was kind of caught off guard. I was expecting a little bit more sweet, but it's just in a very, I don't want to use the term sweet spot because, but it's in a really nice kind of area in terms of sweetness where it's not too much and it's not too little. It's just right on that. Right on that cusp, right?
Well, you hit on something earlier because you talk about the RTD, which for those that aren't familiar, I mean, ready to drink. It's like generally a canned cocktail. There are canned wines and stuff. But it's a very, very competitive market. It's a very crowded market. I'm sure you know when, you know, you walk into like a full-end, like a Angry Otter or a Legacy liquor store, there's no shortage of competition. How have you been getting this to the marketplace? How have you been introducing this to people?
Well, our sweet spot is actually our table wines. Like, I've had our strawberry rhubarb here as well.
Strawberry rhubarb.
Yeah, strawberry rhubarb wine.
Sounds good.
So it's we have 5 table wines that we produce, and they're available all over BC. So like 350 liquor stores, private liquor stores, not in the BCL yet. But we're also in about 70 or 80 stores in Alberta. But the Belzers themselves, they were kind of our, you know, entrance into Save-On Foods. At Save-On Foods or grocery stores, you can't really get RTDs. So we found an area that doesn't have a lot of competition that we can introduce a beverage like this, and it's been very successful there.
So tell us about the Anonymous States then. Where are you located?
We're here in Abbotsford, BC.
Okay, but do you have like an on-site tasting room facility where you can purchase and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we have a tasting room there. Production site is on-site. It's on the corner of I and McKenzie Road. So literally just down the street from UFE, 5 minutes from the Abbotsford, you know, border crossing.
Yeah.
We have a petting farm there. There's
and you're guaranteeing me there's cute baby goats there, right?
1,000% all the time. All the time.
Because otherwise, why do you go to a petting farm?
Yes.
This is amazing. And again, how long have you been around?
For 45 years.
45 years.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And again, you're widely available. As you said, you're not in the BCL, but you're in. And how do people find you online?
Just, you know, go to manfarms.com.
Manfarm, M-A-A-N, farms.com.
Exactly. Or just look us up on Instagram. We're always doing fun events, always involving the community with fun stuff.
And with cute baby goats. He doesn't get any better than that. Gaurav, thank you so much, my friend. Cheers.
Thank you so much. All right.
In the world of body art, you want someone who's creative, innovative, and gets it. That's Side Street Tattoo in Gastown, and artist Devin Stacey. If you can imagine it, Devin can create it. Whether it's something simple, a full sleeve, or way beyond, it can be done and in a safe and sterile manner. If you've been thinking about getting your first ink or looking to add to an already existing piece, talk to my friend Devin Stacey. Side Street Tattoo at 26 East Cordova in Gastown. Online, sidestreettattoo.com.
This is Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 HD3, a Vancouver broadcast tradition since 2010. Check out the audio podcast at justhereforthebeer.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at JHFTB. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary and Rick Moabeer.
Just Here for the Beer radio broadcasting on location from Old Yale Brewing in Abbotsford. It is Canada's original dedicated beer radio broadcast and podcast, heard on Sportsnet 650 AM, also 96.9 FM, HD3, and available wherever you get your podcasts on major streaming services. Joe Leary and Rick Kamoha Beer from Just Here for the Beer Limited, justhereforthebeer.com, at JHFTB, where you can follow us on all social media platforms. And this is kind of cool because we've been doing this show since 2010, and we've been lately, in the last couple of years, we've been focusing on dedicated areas, but not just beer, because there's so much more in the area than just the breweries.
And I think it's just the growth in the industry, right? It's not, and again, you know, we love our beers, right? And you know, cideries, you know, right? Our
meaderies, anything that kind of ends with E. Our guest is the executive director of Tourism Abbotsford. Her name is Claire Seeley. Claire, thank you so much for making this show happen. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm great. Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Well, we don't need to put you under the spotlight and talk about the brewery scene, because that's what we're already talking about. But it's amazing to think, because again, I came here yesterday. We both staying at the Clarion Hotel. Very, very, very nice
Clarion
accommodation. And I'm checking my Google Maps to find the location. I'm a Vancouver guy. You're a Steveston guy.
Yes.
And I was here in like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much straight your car. You don't even need to move the steering wheel. It literally just goes straight once you basically get past Langley. But it's amazing to me the growth in this area. You must be blown away by it.
It's phenomenal, actually. And I'm new to the role. I've been here for 3 months. So for me, I'm a missionite, so just over the bridge. But one of the biggest challenges we faced is exactly what you've just said. People assume they need a passport to come out to the valley. And literally, 40 minutes, you know, North Vancouver to downtown can take as long as it can to get out to the valley.
Exactly.
And then you've got all these unique experiences here. You know, that farm-to-table dining. If we're on the ease, the wineries we've got here. We're a major events area. And, of course, we're easily accessible not only from Highway 1, which is the route you took yesterday, but we're really close to the Sumas border crossing. We've got an airport here, so, you know, there's great access from wherever you're coming in the country or out of the country, so we're very fortunate.
And what I like about it is that you feel like you're away, but you know what? You're literally like 45 minutes away from Vancouver, which I'm going to face again tomorrow. It's kind of a nice little excursion without really going anywhere.
Yeah, without having to travel too far. It's perfect.
Yeah. So in your role, I know you're new to the role, but obviously you know the area and you've been familiarizing yourself with the capacity of what Tourism Abbotsford has to offer. What are some of the things that you're most proud of when let's say you're at a tourism convention or something and someone goes, "Tell me about Abbotsford. What's it all about? What's your usual pitch?"
Well, how long have you got, honestly? The first thing that really hit home for me was, and we call it the abitude. So it's the attitude that's here, right? That everybody is so welcoming and so friendly, and it doesn't matter which part of the industry you've seen today, all the breweries and the wineries, they really support each other. And, you know, that's what makes a great community. So that's been the first thing that's really hit home for me. And then when you look at all of the incredible experiences, I'm a bit of a goat fan now. I've been snuggling baby goats while drinking cider.
You know what? There's nothing cuter than a baby goat.
No.
Not gonna lie.
Oh. So those farm experiences, we're very heavy in agriculture. We've got, you know, beautiful tulip festival about to start next week. In April, and floral displays, incredible cafes. I don't know if you've had the chance to go downtown yet, but the stores and the pastries that you can get down there are absolutely incredible.
We were told by Connie, who works in your office, we were told about a great ice cream experience in your building.
Our building smells of waffle cones, and how many people can adhere to that? And the ice cream is phenomenal, Banta ice cream. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here.
So I'm going to guess, because when you think of the Fraser Valley, you think it gets stupid hot in the summertime, and I'm sure it does. But does that really bring a different vibe to the area than perhaps you would see in winter?
It does. The farm experiences are all open, so there's always a chance to cool down, whether it's a winery or a beer or any of the other pieces. But there's also, we're very much an events community in the summer months. So we have massive events, including things like the air show, and we have AgriFair happening in the summer months. But there's literally always something going on. And it's got to the point now where we're actually dedicating a whole website just to events that are happening in Abbotsford, because there were too many to keep on our website. Mm-hmm. So we've partnered with the city. There's so many sporting events. We've got TradeX, where we've got trade shows coming in. You know, we've got concerts happening.
You've got the Abbotsford Canucks.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I've become a hockey fan as well. Okay. Now, goats and hockey, what more could you ask
well,
for?
Well, I was going to say, because you say you've only been 3 months at this job. Yeah. You came from Mission, because I noticed that very distinct Mission accent that you...
yeah. It's given it away, hey?
You can tell a Mission person when you hear them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what got you into tourism? And it, obviously it's passion for you, and same thing with Connie. I mean, you guys have just been a bullion, just raving about the job. So what first brought you into tourism?
Well, I've been in tourism my whole career, and for me, it's about getting an education without realizing it. So, you know, you go and you experience new places. So you meet new people, you learn about new cultures, you know, and but it's in a fun way. It's not in a way that you're really, you know, being sitting down and being told. Yeah. And then it's about the people, honestly. The people within the industry are so supportive and friendly and amazing. And that's the reason we moved to Canada. We came here on holiday and had such incredible service and met some wonderful people, we ended up moving from the UK. So, you know, tourism can impact in a lot of different ways.
Sure. And what would you say for, like you mentioned earlier, and I think it's so key that people think that, you know, you need to get a passport to come to the Valley, and you certainly don't. It's like 40 minutes. If the traffic's good, it's like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But what's the main selling point when someone says, give me a reason. Why do I want to visit Abbotsford if I live in, say, North Vancouver?
It's just a whole new experience when you come out here. You've got these incredible mountain vistas, but set against the backdrop of tulips or sunflowers or lavender. You know, you get immersed in the experience. So when there's a brewery or a winery or you're at an event, you feel like you're actually out in the countryside. You know, and you add to that the people. It's just a win-win, honestly.
Well, nice. I'm so glad we had this opportunity, and thank you to Connie and yourself, Claire, for hooking this up. And I'm hoping that we can do this on an annual basis, because it just amazes me to see the development from 1 year to the next. And you can only imagine going forward, it's only going to continue at that pace. And there's going to be more and more really good reasons to want to make sure that people come out and
Absolutely.
Check out the area.
Absolutely. And we've got Taste of Abbey that we put on in September, and that really focuses on all of the different foods and drink experiences. We bring in local artists to really give people that overall taste of Abbotsford. So we would love you to come back and experience that.
You have given us a very good taste of Abbotsford, and we thank you so much. Claire Seeley is the Executive Director of Tourism Abbotsford. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Feeling strong and fit is an important element of life, but sometimes people forget to take advantage of maintaining it. That's where I come in. I'm Troy from T-Squared Personal Training, located in the Sandman Hotel in downtown Vancouver. In just 2 or 3 visits a week, I can have you in great shape and the top of your game. Book an appointment and check out my gravity training system. You'll get a full body intense workout in as little as 60 minutes. Visit my website, tsquaredvancouverpersonaltraining.com, or find me on Twitter at tsquaredpt.
You're listening to Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 FM HD3, Canada's original dedicated beer radio broadcast for over a decade. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JHFTB. It's Just Here for the Beer Radio, and your hosts Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer.
It is Just Here for the Beer, Canada's dedicated exclusive beer radio broadcast and podcast, heard on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM, HD3. Online, sportsnet.ca/650. and available wherever you get your podcasts on major streaming devices. By the way, I wanted to mention Just Here for the Beer is a website. It is a platform for broadcast, and it's also beer tours.
Brewery tours. That's brewery correct. Tours, we're yes. doing brewery tours throughout the Lower Mainland. We've got primarily down in East Vancouver, because we got some really great breweries down there, but we've been up to the North Shore, been as far down as White Rock, we've been out to Langley, and just loving it. And everybody that comes out gets a free t-shirt. It's approximately 3 hours. Sometimes, and Joe, you know this, when you've been on a few brewery tours, we've got an opportunity to talk to owners and brewmasters, and what got you into this? How did you get to ask questions that you don't always get a chance
and
to.
And you usually end up requiring a little bit of food along the way, and you make sure that there's at least one stop that's got a nice tasting room with food options.
Correct? Joe, you and I both love our food, so yes, definitely along the way there's a stop that has a great food program, and we make sure you have an opportunity to grab something to eat while we're there.
Well, maybe there's a Fraser Valley tour coming, because we are in the Valley. We are in Abbotsford. We're in Old Yale Brewing. This is their beautiful location, 1 year old. We talked earlier in the show to Nick Fingler, who is the brewmaster. We're joined by Matt Friesen, who is the brewmaster of Fieldhouse Brewing. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing great.
All right. Thanks for joining us. How long have you been doing this?
About 7 years now. Yeah.
Seven?
Yeah.
Homebrewer?
Yeah, I decided to brew about every single style in the BJCP style guidelines in 1 year. And the next year I was professionally brewing and working at the tasting room and then working my way up and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a good experience.
So I was always curious, because I was never – were you ever homebrewer, Rick?
No, nor was I.
But I always wonder, like, you know, when you think you've struck gold – what do you do with that? Like, do you just make it for your friends, or do you actually go, you know, I'm going to take this to such and such brewer and see if they'll bring me on as a brewer? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of brewers that Graham Witt from P49 actually talks about it, how he brought his beer to any brewer that would taste it, and he would just try to get feedback and go from there. But oftentimes, head brewers know that, like, one recipe isn't going to make or break anything. So usually you're providing constructive criticism or feedback to that person, but more so that, you know what I mean, those homebrewers, they're just so excited to be in beer and to make those recipes and stuff like that. So, I think that one recipe... I don't know.
But do they send you back? Like, for example, like I'm sure if you apply for a job as a head chef, if I own the restaurant, I'd go, okay, go back to the kitchen, cook me something,
right?
You know, whatever your favorite dish is.
Yeah.
How do you audition as a head brewer? Do they say, okay, Matt,
bring me a portfolio?
Because Pilsner is really the test of a brewer, correct?
Right. Okay. Correct.
So is it like, okay, Matt, bring me a Pilsner and we'll talk? Is that how it works?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like. It's more so like being able to explain what is going on with the recipe. I often gauge, like, say, let's say I'm interviewing a person for a head brewer position. I'm getting them to taste a beer and talk to me about it and talk to me how the recipe and how the ingredients are contributing to the flavor itself. And that's going to let me know a lot about how they understand those ingredients, how they understand recipe development. And then there's always push come to shove, if they can actually do it.
So you've brought some beers with us. What are you known for, or what is Fieldhouse known for? Are you when I say weird, I mean that with all due respect. Do you try and push the beer envelope and get kind of creative, or are you kind of staying with the mainstream kind of stuff?
Yeah, I would say we're pretty weird. We do a lot of things. I do think I was on Untappd recently, and I do think we released probably the most beers in all of BC. Okay. We do a lot of limited one-offs. I brought you quite a bit actually that we re-released. But last year I think we released over 100 new beers, and this year I think we'll top that. So we do a lot of sour fruit beers. We do a lot of hazy IPAs, and then lately we've been getting into lagers. Everyone's been getting into lagers lately, and so I've been pushing my brewers to really hone in on Italian Pilsner, on Kolsch, on even the you know, classic styles, quote unquote, American lager and things like that are challenging, but people are interested in craft renditions of those. So yeah, it's been fun. It's a it's a fun ride.
Sure. So as a brewer, why are those specific styles so challenging?
Because the Germans are really good at it. Because craft breweries, our systems are really built around producing ales, so we're kind of like doing really in the spirit of craft. We're kind of throwing together a lager brew. We have only one, you know, usually a two vessel system, when really you might want three or four, and you really have to watch your pH of your mash, and it's a little bit more technical because lagers are, you know, they're more delicate. They don't have as much flavor, which some people then take to mean that they're less craft or something like that. But really what it means is that you've got nothing to hide behind. You've got to make sure that your ingredients are good. You've got to make sure that your processes are solid. And you've got to make sure that you've got experienced people and they're doing it. So, yeah.
It's funny because we've had this conversation. We've been doing the show since 2010. And beers got really weird. I mean, when Fuggles and Warlock came along, keeping beer weird was their slogan.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm all about like pushing the envelope and you know, expanding the parameters. But, you know, when you're getting into, like, a Brussels sprouts and sauerkraut goes, it's like, you know what, maybe you've jumped the shark. I think at the end of the day, and again, there's always room for different styles of beers, but at the end of the day, the real test of a brewer is a pilsner. People don't dislike a lager. Give me a pale ale. Give me an IPA. And we're good. You know, and if you want to do a little sour program or try this or that, that's fine. But if you're talking to Joe and Joanne, you know, beer, average beer drinker, they're probably just into, like, standard beers. Is that fair?
Yeah, I do think that it's part of what you've built your reputation around. Our best-selling beer is a 10% blueberry blackberry sour beer.
10%? That's legit.
That's some high octane stuff there, dude.
You have to be a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit cautious. So I do think, like, we always, right from the get go, we said, like, we're gonna make beer that we think genuinely tastes good and we really like ourselves, and some of that is like Dutch pale ale, super easy drinking. And then other times, we're going to challenge our consumers. We're going to challenge our customers and say, hey, like, we can make things that we think you'll really like, and we're going to double down on that. And so probably over 40% of our releases are sour or fruited or wild or something like that. We have a sour barrel program on our farm that we integrate farm ingredients to. And people love it. Sour beer might be a little bit less popular today than it was last year, but overall, people are still drinking lots of it. And I think that, like, we know our demographic. If we only made easy drinking beers, we wouldn't be able to make as much.
And it's not as challenging and as fun for you because you don't get to be that little mad scientist in the brew house and have fun with it.
And you now have two locations.
Correct. We have two locations. We about 3 years ago, right in the middle of COVID, we dropped a Chilliwack location, and that was a lot of fun. But you know, in all seriousness, it's a little brew pub. It produces its own beer. It's your own unique beer. So some of our releases only launch in Chilliwack. Some of our releases also only launch in Abbotsford. But we do even weirder things there. We've been experimenting with some hard tea beers. We've been experimenting with smoothie sours. Carbonated and uncarbonated. I think we have a peach passion fruit sour cherry pie smoothie sour on right now. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we try to keep it drinkable. I wouldn't put Brussels sprouts in a beer, but yeah.
Well, and if you're ever at Fieldhouse and you want to potentially meet the owner, just look to the ceiling. He's the tallest person there
in the room.
Josh Vanderweed. Matt Friesen, the brewmaster of Fieldhouse Brewing. Thanks for joining us, man.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Yeah,
cheers.
Thanks for having me.
I'm just here for the beer.
Just Here for the Beer Radio is presented by Shop Angry Otter Liquor Stores, where local lives. With 25 locations from Vancouver to the Okanagan, BC's premier liquor shopping experience is something for everyone. Why choose between assortment and experience when you can have both? Every Angry Otter Liquor location has a trained team and a vast curated selection of the best beer from your neighborhood to the province. Check out Angry Otter Liquor on Facebook, Instagram, or angryotterliquor.crs for a list of locations.
This This is Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 HD3, a Vancouver broadcast tradition since 2010. Check out the audio podcast at justhereforthebeer.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at JHFTB. Here again are your hosts, Joe Leary and Rick Moabeer.
We welcome you back to Just Here for the Beer Radio, broadcasting on Sportsnet 650 AM at 96.9 FM HD3. Also online, sportsnet.ca/650. Just Here for the Beer, available on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, at JHFTV. And we're broadcasting from Old Yale Brewing in Abbotsford. It's a dedicated show focused on the beverages of the area, which is forever expanding.
Yes.
And we're joined by a person we've had on the show a couple of times. It's been a while since we've seen Paul Sweeting, the operator-owner of Ravens Brewing. And, boy, so much has changed, Paul, because just catching up with you off-air, the building that we went to before, and this goes to show how many years it's been since we've been out here. You're not there anymore.
No. We moved 2 years ago now. Just right after the Fraser Valley flood. We moved to a new 12,000 square foot facility on the Sumas Nation land as an Aboriginal brewery. We thought that was important for us to also most be definitely operating on the land. And we've been there for 2 years, focusing mostly on commercial brewing. We don't have a tasting room yet, but hope to have that in the next year or two.
Now, COVID is pretty much in our rearview mirror, but we haven't seen you for a while. How did that have an effect on you? Was it positive? Because we found some breweries were able to obviously do things that they weren't allowed
delivery,
to do previously.
Off right? sales.
When you look back on that time 3-4 years ago, did it help? Did it hinder? Did it kind of, did you work with it?
Yeah, well, one thing COVID has taught us is you have to pivot and be flexible.
Sure.
So during COVID, we had previously acquired a distillery license and just gotten our still. So we were making hand sanitizer all through COVID. So we were able to not lay off any staff. They were mixologists making hand sanitizer, helping the community. But through the home deliveries and everything else, we were able to, you know, survive pretty well and had the opportunity to move and grow through COVID. Since then, we've now realized, you know, we have to be flexible again, and we've added on contract brewing and storage and distribution to our portfolio to, you know, level the keel through everything.
So just to be clear for people that are listening to the show that might not be familiar with the term contract brewing, that means that we could do Joe and Rick Brewing without actually having bricks and mortar foundation. We could go to you and what's the process then? We use your tanks, you give us X number of tank days, or what's the process there?
Yeah, there's two ways that we operate. We work with other breweries. Some of them don't have capacity, or through this whole process, they want to expand into distribution. So we can work with them with their recipes. We'll manufacture for them, and we try to provide a complete service. So we go right from the grain to the can and into distribution. They may never touch the product at all. But at the same time, we also can work with someone who has a brand idea. We work with them, develop a recipe, and we'll brew it and manufacture that, and then get it out for them as well.
So again, not that I'm dwelling on this, but I'm just curious. Do I come to you with a recipe, or do I go to you and say, Paul, can you create me a recipe? Here's basically what I want to do. Like, for example, we're trying something really adventurous right now. Tell us what this is, and let's say that I came up with this concept. Could you create this for me, or would you go, no, let me come up with something for you?
Yeah, on the contract brew side, we can do develop the recipe, come with a concept, and we'll develop the recipe. Or often people will come with a recipe, and we'll definitely have to still adapt it to our system.
Sure.
In the case of this one, this is what we call a Tepache Sour that we did for Taco Fino Dinner Series. And we took the traditional drink from Mexico. It's called Tepache. It's a fermented pineapple and ginger drink, and did it in beer style.
Nice.
So we worked with Taco Fino, got the pineapple rinds from the restaurant in the brewing process, threw all those pineapple rinds in the beer, and then added some ginger. And then during the fermentation, we added the cinnamon and cloves and additional pineapple juice and just a little bit of habanero just to give it a little kick.
So how many versions did you try before you found one that you liked?
We actually went straight to the tank with this one.
Really?
Yeah. We were pretty excited about this one, and we did a lot of research ahead of time because we never actually truly had a tepache. We would jump right in the tank.
Reason to go to Mexico next time.
Exactly.
All right. So both Rick and I are big fans of heat. We love our heat.
Spice.
Oh. But you've got here a ghost pepper sour, and you even warn on the label. It's hot.
Yeah.
How hot?
It's legitimately hot. We 3 years ago did a mango jalapeno, and it was very popular. And then last year we went to go do it again, and the mango was stuck in the port strike.
Oh.
So we had to pivot. So we thought, okay, well, let's do a pineapple habanero and, you know, kick up the heat a little bit. You know, the old McDonald's concept, right? So then we did that one really well. And for years, I've always wanted to release a ghost pepper beer in Halloween. So after the success of the first two pepper beers, we thought, let's go for it. So we put over a pound of dried ghost peppers in 3,000 liters of this beer. And, yeah, it's... You're going to either love it or you're going to hate it.
Yeah. Well, typical heat, though, right?
I'm expecting to love it because I love spice. As long as I'm warned going in, because, for example, I remember going
to... Peri-peri here.
Well, no, I remember getting horseradish at a keg one night, and they didn't warn me that it was, like, super hot horseradish.
Yep.
So I took a big chunk of it, and I literally had trouble breathing, okay? As long as I know going down that this is going to be a bit of a rough ride, possibly, I'm totally good with it. How's the reaction been?
It's been really good. People are still calling, asking for it. The passion fruit comes out right away first, so you get a nice fruit bomb first, and then that heat comes, and it's
so it kicks your butt at the tail end.
So it's nice to have that sweetness up front, and then have the pepper at the end, right?
Yeah.
Which just kind of sits on that tingle at the back of your tongue.
Yeah, and we want, if we're going to say it's ghost pepper, we want it
to be ghost pepper.
Sure.
Yeah, I threw around the idea of doing the one can challenge.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Well, you've seen the show Hot Ones.
Yes,
they go through the heat level of beer of wings.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something there, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll have
a couple of different versions. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, because I am such a fan of hot. Is this an untapped market? Like, are there much in the way? Like, every there's a couple of mango habaneros out there and stuff, but is there like real kick your ass beers out there?
We haven't seen a lot in BC. Like you say, there have been some people using some spice, but. We really want to go for it, especially this was a Halloween release, the ghost pepper. We really wanted to make it worth your while.
Once again, where do we find Raven's Brewing in Abbotsford?
We're located on Kilgard Road, just past Whatcom Road. We have the new facility there. We have an on-site store, no tasting room yet.
But coming soon?
Hopefully next year.
Okay. Yep. Paul Sweeting, the owner, operator of Raven's Brewing. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cheers. I'm just here for the beer. How about a burger where In-N-Out meets Shake Shack? Well, it's called Mimi's Burgers, a pop-up joint out of Glitch at 2287 West Broadway, two blocks west of Arbutus. It's a simple menu with just four options of hand-pressed patties. Mimi's Classic, Mimi's Cheeseburger, the Beyond Meat, and the double-sized honey for the hungry folk among us. Great burgers, Kennebec fries, and onion rings, and they are good. Mimi's Burgers, think Shake Shack meets In-N-Out. 2287 West Broadway, mimisburgers.com, and on Instagram at Mimi's Kits.
You're listening to Just Here for the Beer Radio on Sportsnet 650 AM and 96.9 FM HD3, Canada's original dedicated beer radio broadcast for over a decade. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JHFTB. It's Just Here for the Beer Radio and your hosts Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer.
And that is a wrap for Just Here for the Beer. JustHereForTheBeer.com at JHFTB on all aspects of social media. Joe Leary and Rick Mohabeer, thankful to the folks at Tourism Abbotsford for bringing us out here to do this wonderful show from Old Yale Brewing in Abbotsford. They also have a location at Chilliwack, which was the original location.
Yep.
And this is a really cool facility. And by the way, we'll let you know that if you do have kids and if they like cornhole, you can play cornhole. We've asked them to suspend cornhole while we're doing the recording because it just kind of sounds like
gunshots.
Random gunfire. Yeah. we don't want that. But it's been a fun time. And by the way, if you enjoy the beer scene and want to check out the various beer communities, may I recommend my good friend Rick Mohabir and his Just Here for the Beer brewery tours.
Yeah, folks, if you are interested in getting your group together or if you and your partner want to come out on a brewery tour, check us out at justhereforthebeer.com and check out our brewery tour page, and you can book. Usually we're in the East Vancouver area just because it's quick and convenient, but we go all the way up to North Vancouver, out to Poco, and all the way south down to the gorgeous breweries out in White Rock.
And I don't know if you realize this or not, but we've been doing this. We're now in our 14th year. This is the first time the show has run completely on time as planned. And thank you to Tourism Abbotsford. Also, our thanks to producer Eddie Gregory.
Yeah, baby.
That is a wrap for Just Here for the Beer.
Just Here for the Beer Radio is heard exclusively on Sportsnet 650 and is podcast through justhereforthebeer.com. For more information, check out justhereforthebeer.com and on Instagram and Twitter at JHFTB.